Hello, Pittsburgh. I'm Zach Gibson, and this is Trib Live's From the Newsroom podcast, bringing you top stories from triblive.com. In recent months, Pittsburgh has been the center of a national conversation on an international sale. U.S. Steel had procured a sale with Japanese company Nippon Steel for $14.9 billion. As the 2024 election ramps up, the conversation of the sale's impact on Pittsburgh and the American steel industry has been debated by local and national leaders alike. Here to give us the ins and outs on U.S. Steel's hard sell is reporter Jack Troy. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Zach. How are you?
Good, good. It's been an interesting day, but so let's get straight into this. Brief me on the basics, and for anybody who's not familiar, tell us about the Nippon Steel, U.S. Steel situation.
Sure. So U.S. Steel, probably know the name, especially if you have lived in Pittsburgh for any amount of time. Iconic steelmaking company, used to be huge, not all that big anymore, about 3,000 jobs in Pittsburgh. And they have been looking for a buyer for a little bit. That buyer, potential buyer, came through in December, Nippon Steel. They are Japan's largest steelmaker. And they offered to buy everything for, we'll call it $15 billion. That was, I think, more than a 100% premium on what their stock was actually worth. So it was an offer that U.S. Steel was definitely super interested in. Their shareholders, almost all of them, gave it the okay in April. But since then, it's been kind of suspended in this regulatory middle ground. Unions brought up concerns. The particularly federal government has brought up concerns, and it is now at risk of being blocked either by the Justice Department or, as it seems is going to happen, President Biden.
Like you said, there has been a lot of roadblocks and hangups in the closing of this deal. It's been politicized in recent weeks as the 2024 election is underway. Key political figures, including Senators John Fetterman, Bob Casey, and Sherrod Brown, have voiced strong opposition to the sale, and they've cited different things as reasons as to why. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so want to preface that by saying it's not a coincidence that this has become such a flashpoint. I mean, U.S. Steel is headquartered in Western Pennsylvania, which is in a state that's probably going to decide the election. There's also, you know, the United Steelworkers Union involved. Unions tend to get a lot of attention and sway in elections. So that's kind of the background here. But basically, some of these politicians are citing national security concerns, for one. And that's basically just comes down to a little bit of discomfort with such an iconic American company being in the hands of a Japanese company. They've also cited trade enforcement concerns, essentially that by being owned by a foreign company, they're not going to fight as hard to stay domestically competitive, hope that made sense, as a company solely based in America. I'm having trouble articulating it. It's in part because it seems that a lot of politicians have had some trouble articulating exactly why they're opposed to this. We hear national security concerns. Some of them kind of say, well, the union's opposed, so, you know, I'm opposed as well. But especially in terms of that national security concerns, it is not crystal clear what the damage could really be, given that Japan's, I don't know, if I counted America's top allies on one hand, they're probably on that hand.
Okay. So some of the local representative have worries or concerns about the job security or pollution control under new ownership. And your articles highlighted the political risks associated with the sale. Given, as you previously stated, Pennsylvania's importance in the electorate and its symbolic and economic importance in the steel industry, there's uncertainty about whether or not this decision, this final decision on the closing of this deal, will be influenced by these political figures. Both presidential nominees, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, have stated that they oppose this sale. Donald Trump said on August 19th at a campaign rally in York County that, quote, "I will stop Japan from buying United States steel. They shouldn't be allowed to buy it." And on Labor Day, Vice President Harris here in Pittsburgh said that U.S. Steel should remain an American-owned and American-operated company, and that she will always have the backs of American steelworkers. C- Can you tell us a little bit about like who can really decide whether to block this deal and why these lawmakers and regulators are wary of the appearance that Biden will most certainly block it?
Yeah. So, I mean, the actual mechanism here is coming through either the Department of Justice, which would be on antitrust grounds. And that's something that I think somewhat quietly has been kind of a signature stance of the Biden administration, is that they've been really tough on mergers and acquisitions. So there's that in terms of just like, will this break the market? But then in terms of national security, that essentially is routed through the president and through the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. The committee is made up of some members of Congress. All they can essentially do is recommend that the president block this deal on national security grounds. And as things stand, the Wall Street Journal reported last week that Biden is gearing up to block this deal. We don't know when. And that's kind of part of why things are really ramped up to 11 right now. It seems like Biden could just wake up one morning and feel particularly ungenerous to U.S. steel, and that's it for the deal. But, you know, despite members of Congress, some members of Congress coming down hard against this, a lot of them have little to no power over what actually happens with this.
Let's take a look at the differences in perception. It seems that there's a national and local rift that's emerging. As we've talked about, there's been a barrage politically from national leaders that are more likely to oppose this deal. And it seems like more local leaders and the workers themselves are more in favor of the deal closing. The sale obviously has drawn scrutiny from the Department of Justice, like you said. And even Representative Chris DeLuzio stated, quote, "The reality is that a sale of U.S. steel to Nippon Steel brings up a lot of concerns for workers and communities in Western PA," once again citing the worker security and pollution control. It seems like, though, that U.S. Steel has made a shift based on this political barrage on their sale. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it seemed like U.S. Steel had essentially hit a wall a month or two ago. I mean, even before then, they'd been advertising. They launched this advertising campaign targeted basically just ordinary people. I mean, they were sending out mailers. They were running TV ads. I was listening to a podcast the other week. They had an ad running on there. In particular, the mailers were interesting because they were not shy. They said, tell your elected officials this is the best deal for American steel, or something to that effect. They have a website also called bestdealforamericansteel.com. And so they've really, you know, having hit this wall with politicians, it didn't seem, at least for a while, like anyone at any level was dying to stick their neck out in favor of this deal. They kind of turned to the public and turned this from something where obviously the companies are interested in this, the federal government's interested in this, the union's interested in this, and their strategy seems to be a little bit of, okay, we're not winning there. Let's make ordinary people who otherwise don't have a ton of stake in this find out what they think about it, and maybe that'll trickle on to the key stakeholders.
Okay. So essentially, they seem to be now trying to appeal to the everyday voters. I also saw in their push, I've seen things like, quote, "New ownership helps our jobs stay in the country we're named after," in one of their advertisements. And it seems like it's having an effect, at least on some of the Republicans that are now starting to champion the deal. Now, Jack, is this evidence of an effective PR pivot in your opinion, or is this just a flash in the pan?
I am really skeptical that this campaign worked, in the sense that enough people got these flyers and called their elected officials, and now there's starting to be some more coming out and favor of this. But there's no denying that there has been some kind of change here. I mean, there, at least at the local and state level, there's been a few more politicians kind of coming out full-throatedly in support of this. And what's interesting with that is at the national level, you're hearing talk of security concerns and evoking a little bit more of, like, I don't know, it gets bound up a little bit more in like rah-rah America stuff. And at the local and state level, I'm hearing more just about like, hey, we would like to still have 3,000 jobs here in the steel industry. I mean, U.S. Steel has very clearly essentially threatened that if this deal doesn't go through, we're probably going to pull up stakes and go to our other markets where everything's cheaper, because they need to make these investments in these plants here. They're old. They're using technology that really isn't used anywhere else or in many other places. And so that's a big part of the appeal for the deal is this injection of money. Nippon Steel said they're going to, you know, throw $1.4 billion at union-run plants. That includes a billion at the Mon Valley Works, which is essentially U.S. Steel's entire presence in Western PA. I don't know if the campaign can be credited for more local and state leaders poking their heads out. There's also been more Republicans kind of poking their heads out, and there's overlap with that, with my point about state and local. But like at the national level, Trump is still saying, I'm going to block this deal. He just reiterated that not so long ago. But Nippon Steel's hired his former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, to lobby on behalf of this deal. There's two lobbyists who appear to be pushing for the deal, and they have donated a combined like $5 million or linked to $5 million in donations to Trump. There's another key advisor who's been publicly pushing for the deal. So it seems that even though I would probably say it's doomed, I think Biden's going to end up blocking this. It's coming apart at the seams a little bit. There's gaps. And I think Republicans are starting to sense an opportunity. Again, to circle around, I would be skeptical that it happened because a bunch of people got flyers. I imagine a lot of those probably went right in the trash. But there has been a change. So
let's move on from the more politicized side of this. Let's talk about the actual implications for the region in the event of a sale. A lot of the workers that we talked about initially were concerned about their job security and different concerns with pollution in the Pittsburgh area. With these fears and detriments that were presented by the public, what has Nippon Steel done to dissuade these concerns?
Well, Nippon has made some promises. One is that $1.4 billion in plant investments. They've also said that we're going to honor the existing union contract with the United Steelworkers. No plant layoffs, no closures, nothing like that through 2026. Now, you tell that to the United Steelworkers, they're going to say, that's an empty promise. If you look at Nippon's exact wording in actual contracts, it's couched in a clause that essentially says, unless we have to, unless the economy is bad, then we might get to reconsider. So Nippon has made these promises. They've devoted a lot of time and energy to them. I don't think that they're just throwing these out. They're throwing these out here to make everyone happy. But the United Steelworkers, I would argue, also have made a good point that there's nothing binding at this stage. I mean, they can come out and say it, and if they break these promises, they'll take a PR hit. But at the end of the day, there's no contractual obligation at this point. At the same time, it looks like these jobs might go away anyway if this deal doesn't go through. U.S. Steel CEO David Burritt came out last week, and he has not said a whole lot about this deal. So the fact that he did an interview, I can't remember which publication, but it wasn't with us. But the fact that he came out and talked pretty candidly about this deal shows that things are really coming to a head. But he said, if this deal doesn't go through, we're probably going to have to move. We don't have the money to make these investments that Nippon Steel is promising. And frankly, at that point, it just makes sense for us to be somewhere where it's cheaper, lower taxes or less regulation or lower wages. So it's been a combination of like, oh no, everything's okay, this deal is going to be great. And now kind of from the back end, U.S. Steel saying, and by the way, if this doesn't go through, you're probably going to see some of the consequences that you opposed this deal for in the first place.
Right. So it's really, for Pittsburghers, it could potentially be a lose-lose situation depending on how they look at it.
It's a lose-lose if some things go wrong. If, you know, this deal doesn't go through and U.S. Steel isn't bluffing about pulling up stakes, yeah, that's a loss. If, you know, Nippon Steel packs it up once the union contract's up or maybe even sooner, and that's the way things go, yeah, that's a loss. But none of those are sure things, and at least regarding that latter scenario, Nippon Steel has said that they're interested in U.S. Steel, not just as like this raw asset, but they like the company culture, I guess you would call it. They like the workers, and so they seem invested in not just hightailing it out of here. So yes, there are scenarios where kind of a lot of people lose here. Are they likely? I don't know. Regardless, they're not going to change the name of our football team. So we'll have that.
Okay. That brings up another point that I was curious about. I noticed that through a lot of your writing, there were comments about the perception as Pittsburgh as the Steel City. What do we think the end result would be in a future without U.S. Steel based in Pittsburgh? Do you think we will still be seen as the Steel City even without the steel producer actually housed in Pittsburgh?
Look, I mean, there has not been a major steel industry presence here since the 70s or 80s. And with that steel industry came a lot of bad things, came a lot of pollution. We're still dealing with a lot of this stuff. So I bring that up not to say that we shouldn't be proud of our Steel City heritage. We're also probably going to hang on to that no matter what happens. You know, the reality is it's been a long time since we've been in actual Steel City. You know, everyone says it's Eds and Meds now. And it's more of this intangible identity. And I don't think for your ordinary Pittsburgher, it matters a whole lot whether U.S. Steel is still here. I would hope that these conversations center on the actual jobs and the pollution. You know, the Clairton Coke Works, that is one of the biggest polluters in the country. And so there's very real practicalities for the people who work there and the people who live by these plants. It would be a shame if electoral politics and this fear of like annoying Pittsburgh voters by ripping away their Steel City identity influence the outcome. Will it? Yeah, probably. I would say so. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for you now, Jack. I'm going to thank you for coming on today and helping to explain this situation with U.S. Steel and the Nippon Steel deal.
Thank you for having me, Zach.
Thanks for joining. If you enjoyed this week's episode, share the podcast to help keep Western PA locally informed with insightful discussion and the latest news from your area. It's an easy way to spread the word, and it helps our podcast reach more people like you. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and turn on episode notifications so you never miss new content. Once again, I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom.